Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom to all that may hear this later. We are taping today, and this will probably go online in the next week or two. We are here at the Ambassadors for Israel program, 2011. It is an honor to be here another year, to be blessed by Yahweh, to be able to administer the program, to be with everybody that's here. The message I want to give today is called Blessed Are the Peacemakers. We talked a lot about being an ambassador, that our main purpose of an ambassador is being a peacemaker, being able to bring conditions for peace. And I have here a certificate that we each got last year from the Ministry of Tourism. It says it's presented in appreciation. This is to me and my wife. On the occasion of your visit, I'm honored to recognize you as a true friend of Israel. Your arrival at this particular moment in our history is an expression of support and solidarity that is deeply appreciated. I am honored to name you as an ambassador of goodwill to Israel. And it's signed by Avraham Hirschhorn, who is the Minister of Tourism. And each of our students that participated got one of these certificates. So it's nice, you know, when you see the country that we're here to serve, that we're representing, recognizing us as true ambassadors. And we talked a little bit last night about some of the doors that Yahweh is opening through us. I will not say any more right now, but I will be updating publicly on this probably in about a month or so. But it really shows that, like I said, making peace, you know, being a diplomat, you know, what is a diplomat? It comes from the word diploma. Every one of you that will finish the course will get a diploma, so to speak. You know, a certificate showing that you completed this course and that you are being recognized as an ambassador for Israel. And also that, like I said, as a diplomat, it means that you're skilled in the art of negotiation. So one of the things we're learning here, you know, we're learning all the different ways to become a real ambassador. It's not just a cute little saying. It's not just to get some piece of paper that you're going to throw in the back of your closet, you know, and maybe 10 years find it crumbled up somewhere. It's something that is real, that has value to it. It's something, especially in the times we're living in the days we're living in, that is extremely important, because we're preparing not just to be ambassadors now for the kingdom of Israel, we're training eternally to be ambassadors for Yahweh, for the kingdom that's coming. So I want to start in Micah 4. In verse 1, it says, "But in the end of the days," here we are, "the mountain of the house of Yahweh shall be established on the top of the mountains, and it shall be lifted up from the hills, and people shall flow onto it. And many nations shall come and say, 'Come, and let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of the Elohim of Jacob. And he will teach us from his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the Torah shall go forth out of Zion, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem.'" In the coming weeks, we're going to talk about the importance of education in the kingdom. You know, being an ambassador, it's important that we can educate the people, because we're going to be bringing a message of education and what that message is. "And he shall judge between many peoples and will decide for strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, nor shall they learn war anymore. But they shall each one sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and there shall be no trembling, for the mouth of Yahweh of hosts has spoken." So here it is at a time where war, but not peace, is what's being spoken about in the news. You know, we know there's probably more than one war that's coming to this nation and to the world. World war is on the horizon. But here for us, you know, we're not coming to learn to be generals. We're not coming to learn to be hand-to-hand combat fighters, you know, in the IDF. We're coming here to learn to be ambassadors for peace. You know, we're coming here to learn, and the country here, the government, they want to hear our ideas. You know, last year all our students had the blessing of writing up a peace plan that was submitted into the government on their ideas, on everything they saw while they were here, and how they can help, maybe in little ways, maybe in big ways, to bring peace over here to the nation of Israel. But you look at this time that's coming, you know, that our message is not a message of warfare, it's not a message of nuclear weapons, it's a message of the day when the mindset of the people will be changed, of turning their weapons into plowshares. You know, instead of using a nuclear bomb, it's going to be melted down and used as a plowshare to come out and make food. Instead of destroying people, it's going to be to regenerate people. You know, just like the frog we just read about. You know, that was thought extinct, missing for 50 years. Another miracle of Yahweh in the land. So the first point I want to make here is that with the kingdom almost being here, and we see there will be no war. You know, if your job now is war, if your job is making weapons, if your job is preparing for war, you're going to be out of work when the kingdom comes, because there will be no war. There will be no weapons of war. There will be nothing like that. And it's a mindset we have to start developing now. We have to start developing this mindset of peace. Because like everything else, it starts in your mind, it goes into your actions, you know, and it's either a good action or a bad action. But we want to start developing in all things the mindset of a peacemaker. Genesis 1 in verse 26. It says, and Elohim said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let him rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heaven, the cattle, the earth, and over all the creepers creeping on the earth. We talked about this in our class, that Yahweh gave man rulership, not ownership. And then verse 27, he created the man in his own image. In the image of Elohim, he created him. He created them male and female. So Yahweh said, let us make man in our image and likeness. And we see in verse 27, we are made as his image. The Father has eyes, he has hair, he has hands, he has feet. But we have to grow into his likeness. Doesn't happen automatically. Won't happen overnight. We have to grow into that likeness. And today in this world today, you see a lot of people having the likeness of war, of aggression, of fighting, and not the spirit of peace, not the mindset of peace. So in a world that is asphyxiated with war, it's so hard to have that mindset of peace, but we need it. As ambassadors of Yahweh, we need to bring that. Isaiah 66. Excuse me. Isaiah 66 and verse 19. He says, and I will set a sign among them, and I will send those who escape from them to the nations. Now this is after Yeshua returns. This is after the great horror that happens to the earth. This is after Armageddon and the last war. And now, here Yeshua is here, and it's cleanup time. It's starting to rebuild what man has destroyed. And who will be these people he's sending out? It could be right here among this room and among Yahweh's chosen. But he's saying he's going to send them to the nations of Tarshish, Pul, Lud, Doras of the Bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the faraway coasts that have not heard. I'll have taught my fame nor seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the nations. And they shall bring all your brothers out of the nations in an offering to Yahweh, on horses, on chariots, on litters, on mules, on camels, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says Yahweh, as the sons of Israel bring the offering in a clean vessel to the house of Yahweh. So again, at this time, very, very close in the future, we were just talking about this in our Kingdom Principles class, that you're not talking about 100 years, 1,000 years, not even 50 years, but in a very, very short period of time here. You know, a few short years, our Savior, the King, his feet is going to come on the Mount of Olives. His kingdom is going to be here. And like I said, before that happens, wow. You know, what does 42 months of Satan's rule do on this planet? First thing it does is wipe off 99% of life. on the planet. And like it says, if the days were not shortened, no flesh would be saved. So there's a lot of cleanup to do. And to these people that we're going to be going to, that only knew war, that are scared to death. Like the Holocaust, many people, whole families, generations are completely wiped out. And we're going to have to bring now a message of peace. We're going to have to bring a message of peace to them. And as you go into a village, maybe somewhere in China, and maybe there was 1 million people living there, and maybe there's 1,000 people left. And now you're coming as an ambassador of Yeshua. And you're telling them what happened, and you're telling them how the changes in the world now, and there's a new king that's here, and he's reigning in Jerusalem. And you're here on his behalf. You're his ambassador. And then they say, we have no food. And you'll walk over to where there's the piece left of a bomb that hit their village that killed most of the people. And you'll touch that remnant of that bomb, and it will turn into a plowshare. And you'll tell them, go ahead. Start plowing your field. The depleted uranium is gone. It's not there anymore. The land is fertile now. You know? And you'll tell them, I got a pretty good idea. It's going to rain this evening. And they'll plant their field, and the rain will come, and food will come up. And it'll be completely different of what they're used to when the kingdom comes. So we are ambassadors of peace for Yeshua. This is the message. And like I say, it's the greatest message on earth you can have. I always said this when I was younger, you know, that if I worked in sales, I don't want to sell something bad. I don't want to sell something that I have to con or convince people. If I'm going to be a car salesman, I want to sell Mercedes. I want to sell something that's the best there is, that sells itself, right? So it's the same thing here. We have the best, greatest message that you can ever imagine. Because it's real, it's biblical, it's the reality of what's coming, whether people believe it or not. And it's to share with people the hope of Yahweh's soon coming kingdom. What greater message in life can there be? Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6 and verse 14. He says, then stand firm, having girded your loins about with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and defend your feet with the preparation of the good news of peace. Defend your feet with the preparation of the good news of peace. Are we bringing the message of peace in our life? You know, is there peace in our families? Is there peace in our congregations? Is there peace in our communities? Are we bringing this message of peace in everything we do? Romans 10 and verse 13. Just like we said, as a man thinks, so he is. Romans 10 and verse 13. For everyone who may call on the name of Yahweh will be saved. Coming from Joel 2:32. How then may they call on the one whom they have not believed? And how may they believe one of whom they have not heard? And how may they hear without a preacher? And how may they preach if they are not sent? Even it has been written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news of peace, of those preaching good things. How beautiful are the feet of those preaching good things. Now, interesting enough, you know, the feet overall are the most uncomely part of the body. You know, not usually if someone is saying something beautiful about somebody's body, it's the feet. And yet here he's saying how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news of peace. Because it's the message that's being brought. It's not about feet. It's about the message those feet are bringing all over the world. Matthew 10. We went over this in our class this week. Just want to hit on a couple of verses here. Matthew 10 and verse 11. This is when Yeshua is giving the commission to the disciples. You know, like I said, amazingly enough, the miracles that will happen if you just go out and follow this exactly the way it's written. But he says, into whatever city or village you enter, search out who in it is worthy and remain there until you go out. entering into the house, greet it. And if the house truly is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you, nor will hear your words, having gone out of that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Truly I say to you, it will be more tranquil to the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in judgment day than that city. Now most of you didn't get to see Sodom and Gomorrah on this trip, unfortunately. But I can tell you, from being there many, many times, and others in this room that have also been there, there's nothing there. 4,000 years later, not even a weed will grow in Sodom and Gomorrah. It is just ash. 100% burned ash, and of course the sulfur balls that Yahweh rained down from heaven. So we see the power that Yahweh puts in our hands. We have the power to curse, we have the power to bless. And like I say, 99% of the time, I'd rather leave a blessing somewhere than a curse. You know, there is time that we do have to use the word of Yahweh. You know, like it said, it's a two-edged sword that cuts to the heart asunder. And there is a time where you do have to, even Paul, we were reading Galatians 1. He said, if anyone brings any other message than the message, let him be accursed. You know, but it's much better as an ambassador of Yahweh to bring a message of peace and blessing instead of a message of cursing. Romans 3. But the problem is, as ambassadors for peace, unfortunately in this world, it is a world that doesn't know peace. It's a world that only looks for war. You think in the world we live in today, the technology we have, it's amazing to think when you think of this planet Earth, that you can literally go from one side of the Earth to the other side of the Earth in a matter of hours. You know, can you imagine that? 10, 12 hours, you can go all the way to the other side of the planet. You know, that we have that technology. And yet, just about everything we've used our technology for has been to destroy. It's only for war. Now, like I said, when Albert Einstein created the technology of splitting the atom, when he found out it was being used to make nuclear weapons, he was horrified. He thought this technology would be used for creating, for growing, for bringing life. And he finds out they're using it for the worst bomb ever. And his statement was, I don't know what weapons they'll use for World War III, but World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones. That's what he came out of it from. And it's the human nature, it's mankind's nature, that they don't understand peace. They don't want peace. They don't know peace. So over here in Romans 3, verse 10, according to it has been written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is not one understanding, there is not one seeking Yahweh. All turned away, they became worthless together. Now one is doing goodness, not so much as one. Drop down to verse 15. Their feet are swift to shed blood, ruin and misery are in their way, and they did not know a way of peace. There is no fear of Yahweh before their eyes. Ruin and misery are in their way, and they did not know a way of peace. It's unfortunate that the nation here in Israel, who wants peace, who looks for peace, but like it says in Jeremiah, they're looking for the wrong peace. You know, trading away your strategic points of the Golan Heights is not the way to get peace. You know, being blackmailed, having people take one captive and being blackmailed into giving 1,000 terrorists away for that. It's not the way of peace. It's not leading to peace. It will not lead to peace. Those kind of things. 1 Corinthians 14:33. 1 Corinthians 14:33. Says, for Yahweh is not an Elohim of confusion, but of peace, as in all the congregations of the saints. Yahweh is not an Elohim of confusion, but of peace in all the congregations of the saints. In the world today, not many congregations have peace in their congregations. It's a time when you're having a lot of heresy, divisions, splittings, you know, all kinds of things. And one thing is, you will never have peace without judicial order. There'll never be peace without judicial order. Without judicial order, without laws, it's chaos. I say that for people who claim the Torah is done away with, you know, it's nailed to the cross or whatever they say. I say, just think of a town. Think of a town with no laws. If there were no laws in your town, what would you have? You wouldn't have peace. You'd have confusion. You'd have chaos. So Yahweh is not the author of confusion, and that's why he has judicial order in all things, and you will never have peace without judicial order. So are you a fire burner or a peacemaker? Are you a fire burner or a peacemaker? Let's go to Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17 and verse 9. It says, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. Proverbs 18:8. The words of a slanderer are like wounds. Yeah, they go down into the innermost chambers of the belly. The words of a slanderer are like wounds. They go into the innermost chambers of the belly. And if this was true back here, 3,000 years ago, how much more now? When one click of the internet can send false information all over the globe. Proverbs 26:20. Proverbs 26 and verse 20. The fire goes out where there is no wood, so the strife ceases where there is no gossiper. A coal to burning embers and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a gossiper are as delicacies, and they go down into the chambers of the heart. As with silver dross spread over an earthen vessel, so are burning lips in a wicked heart. He who hates dissembles with his lips, for he lays up deceit in his inner being. When his voice is gracious, do not believe him, for he has seven hateful things in his heart. Though his hatred is covered by guile, his evil shall be revealed in the assembly. So like I say, are we a peacemaker or a fire burner? You know, we talked about becoming the true believer. You know, that your life has to parallel with your belief system. There can't be a contradiction. You know, so what are we? Are we a peacemaker or a fire burner? Proverbs 6, same book, verse 17. The seven things that Yahweh hates. Proverbs 6:16. These six things Yahweh hates, yea, seven are hateful to his soul: high eyes, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that plots evil plans, feet hurrying to run to mischief, a false witness who breathes lies and sending out strife among the brothers. So you look at just about everything here has to deal with gossip, maligning, and the opposite of a peacemaker. Total opposite of a peacemaker. We go to Jacob, the third chapter. Like I said, it all starts in the heart, but out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So our words are so important. Do we have words of a peacemaker? Do we have words of a peacemaker or words of a warmonger? What are our words? Jacob 3, starting in verse 2. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in word, this is a mature man, also able to subdue the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the mouths of the horses for them to obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, the ships also being so great and being driven by violent winds, they are directed by a very small rudder, wherever the one steering wishes. So also the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold how a little fire sets ablaze large forests. Now the tongue is a fire in the world of sin like a forest. And this very tongue, while it is among our members, can defile our entire body and rolls down like a wheel and sets off fire the course of our entire life. And in the end, it is consumed by fire. For every species of beast, both indeed of birds and creeping things, of sea animals is tamed and has been tamed by the will of man. But no one of men is able to tame the tongue. It is an unrestrainable evil, full of death-dealing poison. By this we bless Elohim, even the Father. And by this we curse men, having come into being according to the image of Elohim. We said image and likeness. Out of the same mouth comes forth blessing and cursing. My brothers, it is not fitting for these things to be so. Does the fountain out of the same hole send forth the sweet and the bitter? My brothers, a fig tree is not able to produce olives or a vine trees. So neither can a fountain produce both salt and sweet water. Who is wise and knowing among you? Let him prove his works by his good behavior in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and contention in your heart, you do not boast and lie. You do not boast and lie against the truth. This is not the wisdom coming down from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where jealousy and contention are, there is confusion in every foul deed. But the wisdom from above is firstly truly perfect, then peaceable, gentle, obedient, full of mercy and good fruits, not partial and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of the righteous is sown in peace for the ones making peace. So what is it? It's not, like I said, it's not just a belief system. It's not an ideology that we just talk about. It's something we live. It's something we live. And a peacemaker certainly is one that does not have an accusing spirit. A peacemaker is one who's always trying to mend fences, not break them down. 1 Corinthians 13:7. Says, love quietly covers all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love quietly covers all things. When a situation arises, it's not always possible. You know, if something is being done that's wrong or illegal, there's just been a big case in the news in America, a sexual abuse case of Penn State. You may have heard about it. You know, one of the biggest colleges in the United States for their football program. A man who's one of the most famous coaches, Joe Paterno, coached, I think, close to 50 years in that college. And now he just got fired because there was a sexual abuse case, and it was brought to him, and he did tell his boss or whatever, but they didn't go to the police. And so there is a time when I'm saying love covers all things. I'm not talking about when you're talking about abuse or something where you need to tell somebody, you know, or bring something. I'm talking about in basic situations of life. You know, we all come into the congregation with different things. You know, maybe somebody comes into the congregation and they have something in their past that's really bad that happened, and they confide in you. You know, and then you want to go out and tell other people their sin or what they did, or be careful of this person or whatever it is. That's not a peacemaker. Like I said, that's not quietly covering all things. 1 Peter 4:8. So there's a time to speak and a time not to speak. 1 Peter 4:8. He says, and above all things, having fervent love for yourself, because love will cover a multitude of sins. Love will cover a multitude of sins. We always like to say we're the ministry of reconciliation, not condemnation. And of course, there is a time, there's a Matthew 18 process. We have tapes on that. And if somebody is outwardly sinning, if they're doing something in rebellion against Yahweh, you know, then there is a process. You need to bring witnesses, first-hand witnesses who saw something. If they don't listen to the witnesses, you need to bring it before the congregation. And unfortunately, there is times you have to mark somebody or put them out of the congregation. But over here, this is talking about something completely different. You know, when it's talking about love covering a multitude of sins, that there are times where by going to the person privately, because in the Matthew 18 process, that's the first point. You go to your brother privately, if you do it in humility and you could win your brother over, that's the end of it. He repents of his sin and nobody else has to know about it. So the Matthew 18 process only goes to more witnesses and before the congregation if the person will not either admit what he did wrong or is defiant to it. But do we handle things in love when we have to? When we need to go to somebody, are we going in love? As it says here, 1 Peter 3, just one chapter back in verse 10. 1 Peter 3 and verse 10. He says, for the one desiring to love life and to see good days, let him restrain his tongue from evil, even his lips not to speak guile. Let him turn aside from evil and let him do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Because the eyes of Yahweh are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of Yahweh is against any doing evil things. And who is the one who can harm you if you become zealous followers of that which is good? But if you truly suffer because of righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And be not afraid of those who terrify you, neither be disturbed. But sanctify the Messiah as sovereign in your hearts, and always be ready to give an answer to everyone asking you a reason concerning the hope of your faith with meekness and fear. having a good conscience, that while they speak against you as evildoers, they may be shamed, those falsely accusing your good behavior in the Messiah. So again, same thing. There's people that will falsely accuse us. There's people that will accuse our congregation or belief or whatever. But as ambassadors for Yahweh, there's a diplomatic way of saying something, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through you, that will actually shame the people. That they'll be ashamed that here they are criticizing you over only good work that you're doing. So we want to have the mind of a peacemaker, to use wisdom against evil. Jacob 5. In verse 16, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man is powerful. In verse 20, know that the one turning a sinner from the error of his way will bring back, restore his soul from death, and will hide a multitude of sins, just like we're reading here. So again, that's always should be our goal as a peacemaker. Even when there's times you have to get involved. A peacemaker doesn't turn his eyes to evil, to sin, to unrighteousness, unlawful deeds. It's the opposite. A peacemaker must act on these things. But always with the hope of restitution, of restoring. We want to have the mindset of a peacemaker. Ministry of reconciliation, not condemnation. So let me talk now a little bit about being a peacemaker with the King of Peace. Being a peacemaker with the King of Peace. Malachi 3. Malachi, the third chapter, verse 1. It says, behold, I am sending my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. And the master whom you are seeking shall suddenly come to his sanctuary. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he comes, says Yahweh of hosts. So we see before the Messiah comes, a messenger goes before him. And what is the job of that messenger? Let's read it. We know who the messenger was. The first time Yeshua came, it was John the Baptist. Let's go to Luke 1. And let's see what his purpose and his job was. Luke 1, verse 76. It says, talking about John the Baptist, and you, child, will be called prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the face of Yahweh to prepare his way, to give a knowledge of salvation, knowledge of Yeshua, to his people by the removing of their sins, through the tender heart of mercy of our Elohim, in which the day spring from on high will visit us, to appear to those sitting in darkness and in shadow of death, to direct our feet into the way of peace. So, you know, a lot of times, and maybe from these Christian movies that maybe portray it wrong. You know, you think of John the Baptist as this wild-eyed, crazy guy, you know, wearing fur all over him, being hairy, screaming, repent, repent. I know years back, that was the way I saw it in one of these Christian movies. But here we see, no, that the messenger that's going before the face of the Messiah is bringing the same message of the Messiah. He's bringing a message to direct our feet into the way of peace. Because if we're going to be ambassadors for Yahweh and ambassadors for the kingdom of Yahweh, then we have to have a way of peace. We have to have a mindset of peace. Isaiah 9. We went over this in our class the other day. It's one of my favorite scriptures. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government is on his shoulder, and his name is called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty El, the Prince of Peace, the one who fathered everlasting life. There is no end to the increase of his government and of peace on the throne of David and on his kingdom to order it, to sustain it with justice and with righteousness from now on and forever. The zeal of Yahweh of hosts will do this." So here it is. The Messiah. The Messiah of Israel is called the Prince of Peace. And it says, "And to the end of peace," there is no end to his government and his throne in peace, bringing peace to the nations. Hebrews 7. Verse 1, it says, "For this Melchizedek, for this king of righteousness, who is king of Salem, priest of the Most High Elohim, the one meeting Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessing him, to whom also Abraham divided a tenth from all, being first interpreted king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, which is king of peace." King of peace. One of the highlighted characteristics of the Messiah when he comes is peace. King of peace. So this is the mindset he has. And although I'll get into this in a few minutes, like I said, sometimes you have to have war to bring peace. But he will come with the mindset of peace. And as his people, we should also have this mindset. Philippians 4, in verse 4. He says, "Rejoicing Yahweh always, again I say rejoice. Let your humility be made known to all men, our Master is at hand. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and by petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to Yahweh. And the peace of Yahweh, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and your mind through Messiah Yeshua. Finally, my brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honest, whatever is just, whatever pure, whatever lovely, whatever of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is any praise, think on these things. And what things you learned and received and heard and saw in me, practice these things, and the Elohim of peace will be with you." So again, you know, not only is something that's required by Yeshua, because again, if he is the King of Peace and he's bringing peace, we must have this mindset of peace if we're going to represent his kingdom. But it's for our benefit. Because when you get the spirit of peace, it's a spirit that surpasses all understanding. You know, there's no fear in peace. You know, it's almost the opposite of it. There's peace, there's tranquility. And when you have this peace, there's no worry, there's no fear. There's such a feeling of contentment. Like we said, Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not want. And this is the peace of Yahweh, that in any given situation, you're always feeling that peace. So instead of where we saw the ways of the world that don't know peace, and their ways are gossip, maligning, bitterness, anger, you know, evil speaking, look at what Yahweh's is. Yahweh's spirit, whatever is true, whatever is honest, whatever is just, whatever pure, whatever lovely, whatever good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. I mean, what a life changer, right? You know, for us and everybody we meet, that everybody that meets you will see the spirit of peace. It's not something that can be hidden. John 14. John 14, verse 23. Yeshua's last words to his disciples before he's ready to be crucified. Yeshua answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father shall love him, and we will come to him, we will make a dwelling place with him. The one who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but of the Father that sent me. I have spoken these things to you, abiding with you, but the Redeemer, the Holy Spirit, whom my Father will send in my name, will teach you everything, and it will remind you of everything that I said to you. I leave peace to you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be timid." So wow, this is a gift that Yeshua has given us. To have the same peace that he had in all things. To be able to bring the spirit of peace wherever we go. Tranquility. You know, especially when there's trouble, when there's weather conditions. I was reading yesterday they had this weather caucus or whatever, and they said, you know, the scientists are saying, get ready, we're going to get much, much, much worse weather in these next few years ahead. You know, and it brings chaos when there's earthquakes, when there's death. And yet, what is it worth to have a spirit of peace? John 16:33, just one page over. Yeshua says, I have spoken these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world there will be affliction to you, but take courage, I have conquered the world. In the world you will have affliction, but take courage, I have conquered the world. And he said, in him we will have peace. And isn't it interesting, so many today are actually denying, you know, their very covenant through Yeshua and the blood of Yeshua. And yet it's through his very blood, it's through that covenant with him, that the only way we could have true peace. John 20, verse 19. John 20 and verse 19. This is after Yeshua is resurrected. Then it was being evening on that day, the first of the Sabbath, this is the day of his resurrection, and the doors having been locked where the disciples were assembled because of fear of the Jews, Yeshua came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace to you. And saying this, he showed them his hands and side. Then seeing the master, the disciples rejoiced. Then Yeshua said to them, again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And saying this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. It's a spirit of peace. You cannot have this kind of peace of Yahweh without the Holy Spirit. In verse 26, and after 8 days, 8 being the number of new beginnings, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them, the door having been locked. Yeshua came and stood in their midst and said, peace to you. Peace. My peace I have, my peace I give to you. Yeshua gave us the spirit of peace. Galatians 5:22. As he breathed the Holy Spirit on them and said, peace unto you. We see in Galatians 5:22 that it's literally one of the fruits of his spirit. But the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace. Love, joy, peace. Peace is one of the very fruits of Yahweh's spirit. So let's go to Numbers 25. Because although, ultimately, when Yeshua returns, all of his enemies will be conquered. We know in Armageddon, a 200 million man army that is going to be destroyed. And like I said, unfortunately, sometimes you have to have war before peace. Sometimes you have to have war before peace. Sometimes war is the only way to get rid of the wicked. Numbers 25. Starting in verse 1. And Israel lived in Shittim, and the people began to fornicate with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people to the sacrifices of their Elohims. And the people ate and bowed themselves to their Elohims. And Israel was joined to Baal Peor, and the anger of Yahweh burned against Israel. And Yahweh said to Moses, take all the leaders of the people and hang them up to Yahweh before the sun, that the fierce anger of Yahweh may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said to the judges of Israel, each one of you kill his men, those who join to Baal Peor. Just like we were reading in the Torah reading. And behold, a man of the sons of Israel came and brought in to his brothers a woman of Midian, where the eyes of Moses and before the eyes of all the congregation and the sons of Israel groaning at the door of the tent of meeting. Literally having relations with this woman. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw. And he rose from amidst the congregation and took a javelin in his hand and went in after the man of Israel into the tent room. And he pierced both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman, through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the sons of Israel. Wow. Doesn't sound very peaceful, huh? But look at his reward for what he did. And those that died by the plague were 24,000. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned my wrath away from the sons of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, so that I did not consume the sons of Israel in my jealousy. Therefore, behold, I give to him my covenant of peace. And it shall be to him and to his seed after him the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his Elohim and atoned for the sons of Israel. So here was 24,000 people died, and many more would have died. So by him coming and killing the person who was holding up the peace, it actually brought the peace. It saved the lives of many people and gave him eternally Yahweh's covenant of peace. So like I said, unfortunately in the world we live in, because it's a wicked, evil world, sometimes the only way to peace is through war. You have to have war before peace. Revelation 6, 3 and 4. This is the seven seals of Revelation. This is the second one. When he opened the second seal, Revelation 6, 3, I heard the second living creature saying, come and see. And another horse went out red, and it was given to the one sitting on it to take peace from the earth, and that they should slay one another, and a great sword was given to him. Second seal of Revelation is literally to take peace from the earth. Revelation 19. We see that when Yeshua returns, and after these things, I heard a great voice of a large multitude in heaven saying, hallelujah, the salvation and the glory and the honor and the power of Yahweh our Elohim. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he judged the great harlot who defiled the earth with her fornication. And he avenged the blood of his saints out of her hand. And a second time they said, hallelujah, also her smoke goes up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped Yahweh sitting on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. And a voice came out from the throne saying, praise our Elohim, all his servants, and the ones fearing him, the small and the great. And I heard as the sound of a numerous crowd, and as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of strong thunder saying, hallelujah, because Yahweh Elohim Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and let us exalt, and we will give glory to him, because the marriage of the Lamb came, and his wife prepared herself. And it was given to her that she should be clothed in fine linen, pure and bright, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said to me, write, blessed are the ones having been called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these words of Yahweh are true. And I fell before his feet to worship him. But he said to me, behold, stop, I am a fellow slave of yours and of your brothers, having the testimony of Yeshua. Worship Yahweh, for the testimony of Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven being opened, and behold, a white horse, and he sitting on it, having been called faithful and true. And he judges and makes war in righteousness. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns with many titles on it. And one of the titles had been written, no man knew but he himself. And having been clothed with a garment which had been dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of Yahweh. And the armies in heaven followed him on white horses, being dressed in fine linen, white and pure. And out of his mouth goes forth a sharp sword, that with it he might smite the nations. And he will shepherd them with an iron rod, and he treads the winepress of the wine in the anger and the wrath of Yahweh Almighty. And he has on his garment and on his thigh a name having been written, King of Kings and Adonai of Adons. And I saw one cherub standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds flying in mid-heaven, come and gather together to the supper of the great Elohim, that you might eat the flesh of kings and flesh of captains and flesh of strong ones and flesh of horses and the ones sitting on them and the flesh of all, both freemen and slaves, even to the small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies being assembled to make war with the one sitting on the horse and with his army. And the beast was seized, and with this one the false prophet, doing signs before it, by which he led astray those having received the mark of the beast and those worshipping his image. The two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword of the one sitting on the horse, the sword having gone forth from his mouth, and all the birds were filled from their flesh. Well, again, we see, even at Yeshua's return, we started out talking about after his return, the cleanup job, the peace that's being brought, melting the armament, you know, the weapons into plowshares. But again, sometimes, unfortunately, you have to have war before you have peace. Psalm 122. But again, as his representatives, that's why Yahweh has a heavenly host. That's why he has a commander of his heavenly army. Unfortunately, that is not our job. Our job is a message of peace. Yahweh gives us great power and ability through His Spirit. He gives us power to bless. He gives us power of prayer. He hears our prayers. And as the end time comes, more miracles will be coming through that. Psalm 122 and verse 3. It says, Jerusalem is built like a city that is joined to itself together. There the tribes go up, the tribes of Yah, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of Yahweh. For the thrones of judgment are established. They are the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love you shall prosper. Peace within your walls, prosperity in your towers. Because of my brothers and my companions, I will now say, peace be in you. Because of the house of Yahweh or Elohim, I will seek your good. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, which will only come by the coming of the King of Peace. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Almost finished. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Says, then on behalf of Messiah, we are ambassadors. As Yahweh is exhorting through us, we beseech on behalf of Messiah be reconciled to Yahweh. So like I said, we're living in a time where great wars are getting ready to come. You know, we know one war alone is going to take a fourth of the people on this earth. And by the time all these wars are over, most of the people living on the earth will not be here. But our message is not one of war. Our message is one of peace. Our message as ambassadors of Yahweh is the hope that's coming after this. It's the message of peace that comes. And like I said, we need to have that mindset in our life. We need to have that mindset in our families, in our congregations. You know, we need to take it as the highest responsibility and honor that we can ever have, that Yahweh has chosen us as ambassadors to Him. So the last scripture I'm going to go over is in Matthew 5. It says, but seeing the crowds, He went up into the mountains, and seating Himself, His disciples came near to Him. Talking about Yeshua, of course. And opening His mouth, He taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the ones mourning, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see Yahweh. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of Yahweh. We're created in His image, and we have to become in His likeness. Yahweh is the peacemaker. Yahweh is the spirit of love. Yahweh is the spirit of peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of Yahweh. If we want to be one of those children, if we want to be part of the cleanup, if we want to be part of the solution and not part of the problem, we need to start to learn to put on a mindset of peace. We need to learn how to mend bridges. We need to learn how to be problem solvers. You know, the Apostle Paul said, when I was with these people, I was like these people. When I was with these people, I was like these people. I was all things to all people that I might gain some. And we need to be like that. We need to, again, without compromise. Without compromise. I always say we need to be flexible without compromise. But at the same rate, we can't be so rigid with our thinking that we're simply just turning people off. We need to have a modality about us of peace. You know, we need to be the kind of people that can articulate our position. Like we said, it's one of the things of an ambassador. You have to be able to articulate. And again, when you leave here, there's going to be a great responsibility on you, you know, of going out and bringing this message. If you take the message and you hide it under a bushel, then you're not an ambassador for Yahweh and not an ambassador for peace, and you'll be accountable for it. You need to take the message that you're learning, and you need to go out as a real ambassador for Yahweh, you know, with the full authority that's coming from Yahweh, His congregation, and the nation of Israel. You know, but it's so important. Because, you know, it says in Jeremiah 5, I looked for one man to stand in the gap, and I found none. And that's scary. You know, it's scary that Yahweh couldn't find one person to stand in the gap for peace. One person to stand in the gap for his word, to stand in the gap for his Torah. So let us take our responsibility to the highest degree and truly train for the great calling that besets us. You will never have peace without judicial order. We must 100% unconditionally surrender to Yahweh and let our evil human nature die. We must clothe ourselves with a mindset of peace daily. As ambassadors for the highest kingdom of the universe, we must exemplify the spirit of peace from Yahweh, who has called us to this great calling to be an ambassador for Him. Yahweh bless.